From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Tuesday, February 10th. I'm Abby Lurico. Under the Trump administration, rising visa costs and fears at ports of entry are keeping more international artists and musicians away from the Midwest.
With all the additional fees and costs and troubles and stress, it's flipping it all over, right? So it's not worth it, not financially and not stress-wise and workload-wise.
Politics putting up roadblocks for the arts. Coming up after this news on The Gateway. St. Charles planning and zoning officials tabled a vote last night on a potential ban on large-scale data center development. The proposal for a full ban comes 6 months into a year-long moratorium on any new data centers. Officials put the temporary ban into place after public pushback against a $1 billion proposal for a data center near Highway 370. The council delayed the vote after public comments on the measure, which included statements both for and against the ban. The Missouri House overwhelmingly approved a bill yesterday that would restrict automatic recurring campaign donations. St. Louis Public Radio's Lily Halloran reports the legislation appears to be a reaction to former state Senator Bill Eigel's benefiting from the tactic.
Eigel has been criticized for receiving automatic contributions when he ran for governor and again when he launched his current bid for St. Charles County Executive. Republican Representative Jim Murphy of St. Louis County is the bill's sponsor. During initial approval, he cited the case of a Nebraska man who unknowingly contributed more than $1,000.
The member who is not going to be named went across state lines, went all over with solicitations for campaign contributions. Never mentioned his name or what was going to be done with that money.
The legislation would require donors to opt in to recurring donations that would end after an election. In Jefferson City, I'm Lily Halloran, St. Louis Public Radio.
Eigel did not immediately respond to a request for comment. The House also passed legislation yesterday that requires Missouri schools to screen for academically gifted students. House members voted 142-8 to pass the bill. It now goes to the Missouri Senate. Republican Representative Brenda Shields is the sponsor of the legislation.
If gifted students aren't identified, it leads to untapped potential. And I believe as a state that we would have this potential tapped early, allowing these students to thrive and become leaders in our state.
The legislature passed a law in 2022 requiring schools to establish a gifted program if 3% of the students are identified as gifted. However, that legislation did not have a screening mechanism. The proposed bill makes schools screen students at least once before the third grade. University of Missouri-St. Louis Chancellor Kristen Sobolik will step down from her duties this summer. In an announcement yesterday, University of Missouri System President Moon Choi said Sobolik would transition to Chancellor Emerita on July 1st. The public university is home to over 15,000 students. Sobolik first joined the university in 2017 and then took the top role in 2020. She's the school's eighth chancellor. University of Missouri-St. Louis did not announce who will succeed Sobolik. St. Louis Public Radio's broadcast license is owned by the UM System Board of Curators, but the university has no control over its journalism. A federal judge blocked the Trump administration's plan to freeze billions in child care and social services funding in five Democratic-led states, including Illinois. As St. Louis Public Radio's Katie Grovich reports, the ruling is only temporary, leaving families and child care providers in limbo.
The Trump administration says it wants to block the funding because it's concerned about fraud, but leaders of those states say it's a political move, and they already protect against fraud. The preliminary injunction, issued Friday, will block the freeze for at least 2 weeks until a judge can hear the case. Michelle Wright owns two child care centers in Cahokia Heights and Granite City. She says she has already cut field trips and other non-essential services in hopes of surviving a freeze.
So we're already dealing with, you know, constraints and trying to keep financially afloat because we're a business at the end of the day. We take care of children, we love them, but we still have to be able to pay our bills.
Governor J.B. Pritzker's office estimates 100,000 Illinois families receive child care assistance affected by the freeze. I'm Katie Grovich, St. Louis Public Radio.
Governor Pritzker says new development could come to the Metro East because of a recently expanded bond program in Illinois. Pritzker visited Belleville Monday, where he touted sales tax and revenue bonds, also known as STAR bonds. The bonds have been used before in Illinois to lure developers, but recently passed legislation lets local governments issue them. Eric Aller works with the Southwestern Illinois Building Trades. He says it's a game changer.
I think about good-paying union jobs, as we mentioned, with sustaining wages and benefits, construction wages that will be spent locally, strengthening small business and municipal revenue.
The projects must generate at least $60 million in annual sales, create at least 300 new jobs, and be considered in the public interest. Governor Pritzker says the Metro East could have multiple future developments that are eligible for STAR bonds.
We're working together across regions, across industries, across levels of government, across the aisle to deliver on behalf of our communities.
You may have heard about STAR bonds recently as they were used to lure the Chiefs to Kansas. But this legislation says professional sports teams in Illinois are not eligible. A new improvement project is now underway for Keener Plaza in downtown St. Louis. Construction begins this week, and by this October, park visitors should see new cherry trees, up-to-date pavers, and a better lighting system. St. Louis Public Radio's Andrea Henderson has details.
The City of St. Louis, Gateway Arch Park Foundation, and Great Rivers Greenway are partnering to help Keener Plaza visitors access a more vibrant and user-friendly park. Its last upgrade was nearly a decade ago. City officials, park, and nonprofit leaders want the outdoor space to continue to evolve to better support daily use and public events. Ryan McClure is the executive director of Gateway Arch Park Foundation. He says the park should be a place where lasting memories are created.
It's such an important space. It's essentially the living room of downtown St. Louis, and we need to make sure that it is the best that it can be.
The park will remain open throughout most of the construction. I'm Andrea Henderson, St. Louis Public Radio.
International artists and musicians have long seen the U.S. and the Midwest as a place to share their work and build their careers. But for many foreign creatives, just getting here has become harder, more expensive, and fraught with fear. Josie Fischels reports.
You're listening to Swedish folk a cappella group Kungro. The group of four women embarked on their second U.S. tour last year, starting in Illinois. But for the first week of that month-long tour, member Emma Bjorling's voice was missing.
I was stuck back home without a visa.
To meet their scheduled tour dates, the group first paid nearly $3,000 in expedited processing fees for foreign artist visas. But because Bjorling was on a tour with a different music group in Canada at the time, she ran into additional delays caused by recent changes to U.S. non-immigrant visas. She was required to return home to Sweden to complete an in-person interview, which she says she hadn't been asked to do before. She ended up missing her international flight with the group while waiting for her visa. In the end, Kungro lost money on its U.S. tour and will not tour the country at all in 2026.
With all the additional fees and costs and troubles and stress, it's flipping it all over, right? So it's not worth it, not financially and not stress-wise and workload-wise.
Visa processing fees and delays have grown significantly over the past year, discouraging international artists who want to perform in the U.S. And that's just part of the picture.
There have been a number of artists that have canceled, decided not to tour.
Mateo Mukahi is with the International Latino Cultural Center of Chicago, a nonprofit that invites international dancers, filmmakers, and musicians to share their work at different venues around the city. He says some artists are choosing to avoid the U.S. altogether, not just because of the paperwork, but because of fear over what might happen when they arrive.
If you're going to tour in another country and you get hassled to no end upon entry, it doesn't make you feel very welcome.
Immigration restrictions have intensified under the Trump administration, leading to heightened scrutiny of visiting artists at ports of entry. Last summer, a Colombian artist scheduled to paint a mural in Iowa was sent back home after being denied entry. The mural she'd created had to go up without her. A Czech clarinetist was forced to cancel a series of Midwest performances after being detained 4 hours because of a documentation issue. He was put on a flight back to Prague. Mukahi says artists still see the U.S. as a prestigious place to share their work. But now they're thinking twice.
I spoke personally to some artists who were like, I don't know if I want to deal with that. You know, I don't know if I want to come in, even if I got everything in order, if I'm going to get hassled for 2 hours at the border.
While it's hard to quantify just how many foreign artists are skipping the Midwest, Jennifer Rowe with Folk Alliance International in Kansas City says other major markets, like Europe, feel more accessible right now.
You know, I understand the rationale for that, but that's unfortunate for our communities here in the U.S. that are missing out on the opportunities for that cultural exchange.
Rowe's organization works to ensure artists are aware of resources that can help them travel to the U.S. to showcase their talents.
Providing people as they cross the border with the best information, the best way to respond to questions is the education that we like to provide to people.
She says cultural exchange is incredibly valuable, especially in the Midwest, which is home to many independent venues and rural communities that often support performances with grants.
There's so much to learn from bringing in people from different communities and cultures.
But until the process feels more predictable, arts organizations can expect artists to rethink their visits in the coming year. For the Midwest Newsroom, I'm Josie Fischels.
The Midwest Newsroom is a collaboration including NPR and member stations in Iowa, Kansas, Nebraska, and Missouri, and is a member of the Trust Project. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, thanks for listening to The Gateway.